If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 1, He said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You war and you fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, but let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." As we see this today, we see James is speaking, and he's speaking to our hearts, amen? I won't say when God speaks to us, he's not speaking to our head. He wants to speak to our heart. I believe a lot of times we take it into our head, but I believe we're missing God and godliness by about 16 inches. I mean, there's a lot of folks today that's going to die and go to hell lost without God because they've got Him in their head. We know who He is, but we don't have Him in our heart. When God moves from our head to our heart, you say, "Preacher, how does He do it?" Through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God begin to minister to us, minister through us, and He takes those high and mighty things of God, those lofty things of God, He puts it in our head, and the Holy Spirit of God will work them down into our heart. And when they settle in our heart and become part of who we are, it changes us for God's glory. Amen? So we begin to see what God's doing, what God wants to do, and James tells us here that as Christians, praise God, we have some conflict in our lives. I want to say there's conflict all over this world. If you look around today, you watch the news, if you flip through, praise God, you'll see all kind of conflict. You'll see all kind of adversity all over the world. See, if we ain't careful, we get to thinking, well, this is just something that's happening right here. Or the old devil say, "Well, this is just happening in your home. It's not happening nowhere else." But I want to say there's conflict everywhere. There's trials and adversity all around us today. But I want to say, praise God, we've got a way, praise God, to overcome all that adversity. We've got a way to overcome all the trials and the afflictions of this world. Amen. And it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him this morning, free pardon of sin, praise God, it's about time you got to know Him. Amen. Know that He loves you, He cares for you, He died for you, praise God. He's there to be that ever-present help, even in troublesome times. But we see the Bible here, and as James begins the speech in chapter 4, he's talking about the things that come up in this world which we live. Now, I know sometimes when we speak about the world, people just shut their heads and say, "Here he goes again." But we're living in this world. Amen. We're here, and we can't do nothing about it. So what we have to do is allow God to help us as much as He can while we're here, that we might surely be overcomers. You say, "Preacher, how can we do it?" We can overcome this morning. Now, this is what I want to preach, just a few minutes. We can overcome by love. Amen? Overcome by love. That's what we got to do. That's how we overcome every obstacle. That's how you overcome everything that happens in your home, is when you overcome it by love. Amen. Now, James is here and he's talking about those wars and fightings that are among you. And it's always, it's there. But it oughtn't to be. We ought to love one another. See, that love started back with Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible. You remember what it was? When Jesus saw that Lazarus dead and all those around Him were weeping and mourning, their hearts were broken. And the Bible said Jesus wept. Amen. He wept. He had compassion for those that was sorrowing. Those that was hurting, He had compassion for them. And in verse 36, the Jews looked on that and they said, "Behold how He loved Him." Talking about Lazarus. Talking about those that was associates with Lazarus. Amen. He said, it began to be spread abroad. He said, how Jesus loves. He's full of love. He overcome the anguish, the heartache that was there, praise God, by love. And it carried over into the church. Amen. They got to looking around church and the people got to looking at the church and they said, "Oh, behold, look how they love one another." Amen. Look what's happening in the church. They can see that those people love one another. Amen. It becomes to be something that people begin to recognize. Amen. Why? Because they realize that these people were overcome by love. God, they can't help it because they loved each other. Amen. And they did because God first loved them. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we was lost and undone without Him. He loved us and thought of us, had us on His mind when we weren't thinking about Him. Amen. But I'm glad, praise God, that God has a way of getting your attention. He has a way of bringing us, praise God, to a place where we love Him and they begin to praise Him. They begin to love each other. Love the Lord supremely. And when they begin to love the Lord, they begin to love each other. I want to say you can't have one without the other. Amen. We can't. Do you hear what I said? You can't have one without the. You can't love each other without loving the Lord first. When you love the Lord Jesus Christ first, praise God, then He'll teach you. He'll show you how to love each other, and things will become. The things will begin to fall into place. Order will begin to be established in your house, in the church house, and in this world which we live. Amen. We'll begin to see an order come in. Praise the Lord. But we see this place, and the church begin to pick it up, and people begin to proclaim it. But I wonder what the world would say today. I believe if people look at the church today, and I pray what they would say is, hey, behold how they can compete against each other. Amen? I believe if the world looks at us today, and they'd say, look at them competing with each other. Doing things, amen, to try to compete against the church against church, and church people against church people. And there's no love in that. Amen? But that's the way that we are. That's where it comes. You say, well, preacher, how did we ever come this far? Because we took our minds and our eyes off the purpose in which we were born again for the cause of Christ. That we're saved for God's glory. And He said, because of that, He said, there's warring among us. Amen. We can't get it. We seems like people can't get along. Even churches can't get along, or church people can't get along like we should. And because it's war, that's fighting in us. And it comes from three things, three simple principles this morning. Number one is selfishness. Amen? We tend to be selfish and self-centered. Wars are called by the wars that's in us. There's battles going on in our lives. There's conflict going on. Amen? There's conflict going on in every one of our lives. In those wars that we're fighting on the inside, have a way of making their way to the outside. Amen. You have conflicts and trials and heartache down at the workplace, and you come home, and the next thing you know it, you come in, you kick Fido, amen, and you talk real hateful to the wife and to the kids. Amen. Why? Because there's a war going on inside. Amen. The joy, the peace, the happiness that should be there, because what God's blessed you with, amen, we forget about so many times, and it ain't nothing but the devil. Amen. But I'm glad there's a God of heaven that loves us, praise God. And He'll replace that. He'll help us overcome by love. He'll help us to be overcome by love. Amen. Glory be to God. There's nothing like the love of God in your heart. Especially when it's shed abroad into a world. Amen. So we can begin to see it. Amen. So what is selfishness? Selfishness is nothing but being self-pleasing. Amen. Self-pleasing, when we do things just to please us. When we do stuff to satisfy our flesh. He said, come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members. He said, that lust inside us, that selfishness inside us, amen, that compels us to do the things that we do to satisfy our flesh. Hello? Now we're preaching, but we're going somewhere, praise God. This is a thing to rejoice, amen, when we realize, praise God, that it's just the old flesh. But there's a God in heaven, praise the Lord, that's overcome the flesh. There's a God in heaven, praise God, to help us to be overcomers and overcome by love. Love will take a place of all those things that would so easily beset us. All those things that would keep us rejoicing and reviving in the Lord. Amen. Loving each other, caring for each other, lifting up the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And so we come to a place where when we're selfish, we're doing things selfishly, and we don't care who it hurts. Amen. We're living in a society of young people especially, and all they want to do is get and get and get. It's all about me, 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 and it don't care who it hurts. We don't care what we say. We don't care what we do. We don't care how we act. We don't care how we react. It's all about me. I want to say, listen, folks, it's not about you, praise God. It's about you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Being overcomer, overcoming the flesh and desires thereof, and just lifting up and praising and giving God glory today. Amen. It's time to be overcome by love. And it'll help us overcome all that. That adversary, that self-pleasing. Amen. That self-absorption that we have. We get so caught up in self sometimes, so our selfishness, that we can't think about anybody else. Let me just rephrase. We don't think about anybody else. We don't think about other people's feelings. Amen. We don't think about whether it's going to hurt or not. Praise God, we got to be careful. Because we don't want to hurt nobody that Jesus died for. Amen. Especially in our families or home, praise God, we need to be real careful that we can let, the Bible says to put away all that fussing and arguing and bickering with malice. It said put it away like we hate it. Amen. Why? Because he said let love overcome all that. He said when love overcomes that, praise God, selfishness has to move out of the way. Amen. So that we don't become self-absorbed, so that we're not selfish in ourselves. So we're not just going on fulfilling the lust of our flesh. What we like and what makes us feel good. Did you ever think maybe it's time that we stop and say, you know, what can I do for such and such to make them feel good? We look and try to find somebody that's having maybe as rough a time as we are and encourage them a little. You know what that'll do? It'll take your mind off what's bothering you. Amen. It'll put a new focus, a new emphasis in your life. Praise God. So you overcome your own obstacle. Why? You overcome it by love. That love moves upon your heart and it changes everything. Changes the whole aspect. Because it gets rid of the selfishness that's in your life. Praise God. But not only is they selfish, but there's worldliness that we see here in the Word of God. Verse 4. He said, but ye adulterers and adulteresses. He said, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Amen. Listen, he said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He said, preacher, but we have to live in this world. Sure we do. But we don't have to partake of the things of this world. The Bible tells us, and he tells us here that Abraham, he overcame, praise God, the world by love. He was out there in those plains and he was looking around him and Lot. And you know the story said their herdsmen had a strife and a contention because they was several of them and they was together and they was all competing for the same thing. They was competing for the grasses and the watering holes. Kind of reminds us of the church today and even our family. We're all competing, but we're competing for the same thing. Amen. Have you ever thought, praise God, when you work together, praise God, the competition, amen, it would be even more intense because you're doing it and because you've been overcome with love, praise God, and you want to see the other person prosper. Want to lift each other up, praise God, a little higher than we've ever been to encourage somebody else to get in, somebody else to get the hope and the help that they need in the day and the hour that we live, praise God. But we see it in Abraham. He told Lot, they looked out over it, and the Bible says he told Lot, he said, you pick one way and go that way, and he said, I'll go another. He said, we'll settle this, and we'll settle it peacefully. Amen. Well, Abraham, he was one, and the Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 23, he said, but the scripture was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God, and it was important to him for righteousness. He was called a friend of God. Abraham was out there and he's in the plains. Praise God. He said, it don't matter. I'm just going to give God glory. He said, no matter where you go, what you do. He said, I'm just going to praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to be happy and content in the Lord. I want to say, praise God, if we've got Him today, we've got all we need. He that gets the Son gets it all. Amen. So he said, so Lot looked out, and you know the story said he looked out on those well-watered plains down towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he headed that way. Amen. And we see him as he goes down, he goes into that place. And in Genesis chapter 13, 1 through 13, he tells about how he chose that way. He chose that direction. The well water plains, the lush grasses down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He said it was a little better on the other side of the fence. I've said many times, sometimes we look at the other side of the fence and that grass on, praise God, on the other side seems so lush and green. Amen. Luxurious in its appearance. So if we ain't careful, we'll climb up and we'll hop the fence. And we'll find out before long that the reason it's so green and so lush, praise God, is it's growing over a septic tank. Amen. That's where it's being nourished from. Amen. It's vile. It's a disgusting. But praise God, it looks good. The devil will paint a picture. He'll make it look good. But I'm glad that he's a God of heaven. We see Lot. He got down there and the Bible says that we see him. He took his family, drug them off towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Down there, that land that looked good. Amen. If we ain't careful, we'll chase after a world that looks good. Amen. And we'll forget about the world that God's got for us. The way and the direction He'd have us to go. And you see as it rocks on that Lot got down there about chapter 19 and the angels of the Lord coming and they said that there was Lot and he sat at the gate. Amen. He had done become received power and authority for that place. Amen. He had done become one of those, praise God, that had prestige in his life. He was overcome by worldliness. Amen. He got down there and the world engulfed him, the world persuaded him, the world guided him in the way that it wanted him to go. Praise God, he was honored, he was privileged, he was proud to sit at the gate of that awful place. Amen. To watch those that would come in and go out and said, you know what? You say, well, maybe he'd make a difference. He didn't make a difference. If we want to make a difference, praise God, the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. That's what makes a difference. But he got caught up in worldliness. See, selfishness rose into worldliness, and he rose up in that place. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, what causes that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, the love of the world. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, he loveth the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. If you love the world more than you love the things of God, the love of the Father, he says, not in you. I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anything I know. Amen. I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than I love my wife. She's second. He's first. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. All these lusts that we have for all this stuff is just of God. It's of the world. It's not of God. He said, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. He said, all the lustfulness, all those fleshly desires that we have, he said, they pass away. They're gone. They're just fleeting for a moment and they're gone. But he said, praise God, the love of God that overcomes, praise God, hits forever. It's eternal. I don't know about you, I'd rather have something that's eternal than have something that's fleeting at just for a moment. That's why the Bible would say that we're supposed to flee fornication. Amen. That illicit sex, those illicit things that bring us to that place of is the illicit sex. The drugs and the alcohol and the abuses of our bodies, amen, that's so easily beset us if we ain't careful. But the Bible says we're supposed to flee from that, to run from it, to get away from it. Amen? Amen? Said we're supposed to get away from it. We're supposed to hate that stuff and love the Lord. You can't love the Lord and love that stuff. Amen? God's not in it. He's not a million miles of it. So we separate ourselves to the Lord and we trust Him. We live for Him. We love Him, praise God, like He loved us. Amen? We don't live for the flesh. In selfishness, we don't live for the flesh, in worldliness. We don't get caught up in it. But the reason you know why we get caught up in it? Number three is because of pridefulness. We get caught up in situations and we get hung up in them because of pride. We get in there and we're too prideful to get out. What will people think? Listen, a long time ago I realized I don't care what people think. I just want to be mindful of what my God thinks. I want to be pleasing the Lord that I might be found faithful. See, the Bible says that one day in a little while, Jesus come back and He asked the question. He said, who will be found faithful when the Lord appears? We need to ask ourselves, will we be found faithful when Jesus comes? Amen. See, it's an opportunity you and I have to be faithful to the Lord, to trust in the Lord all the days of our life, to commit ourselves. But if we ain't careful, pride will come along and it'll keep us from being faithful. In verse 6 he said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. When we resist the devil, when we come before the Lord and we just humble ourselves in humbleness to God, amen, then we resist the devil, we resist the flesh, we resist the selfishness, the worldliness, the pridefulness that's all around us. And we get, you say, well, preacher, I don't know what that would accomplish. It'd give us peace in our hearts. The reason we don't have peace is because we have all this stuff that's warring in us and causing conflict. And it's conflict between us and the Lord. See, Satan uses pridefulness to defeat us. He'll use pride to defeat you and keep you defeated. If he ever gets you defeated, he'll use it to keep you defeated. Amen? You see that in the Word of God. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, remember that? Remember the lady named Eve? The Bible says Eve was there in the garden with her husband Adam. Amen? And they were there and they had a place that was perfect. A perfect place, a perfect environment, a perfect peace, happiness, and joy. And then Satan come along. And Satan rose up and he said, hey, listen, have you considered that fruit in the midst of the garden? And she said, well, said, you know, we can't partake of that. Said, we're supposed to leave that alone. We're not even supposed to touch that. He said, oh, said, that's because God knows that when you partake of that, that you'll become wise and know things like he knows. Amen. So pride rose up in her. And she said, well, you know, if that's going to make me really smart, if I'm going to be more like God, then I guess that's a good thing. But see, what pride does, it keeps us from becoming that place of submissiveness to God. We're living in a world today, and the world says, Dr. Schmock says, what we got to do is we got to just raise up that little God that's in us. I want to tell you, the only little God's in you is full of the devil. Amen. What we need to raise up is that God, amen, that God that wants to be in us, that wants to control us, wants to lead us and guide us and to help us, amen, to overcome, that we might overcome by love, that we might be filled with the love of God. Praise God. But pride rose up and it caused her to be, that took away her submissiveness and turned her to her own will. And James says, because of that, because of the selfishness and the worldliness and the pridefulness, amen, he said we need to weep and to mourn and to cry, not rejoice in life and think it's a good thing. We're living today, but today in the world, praise God, that it's not that good. It's bad. Amen. There's some things in this world that are bad. And so he said, but we can overcome the bad by the good, by that overcoming love of God that moves into us. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep, that the laughter may be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. He said, how? Verse 7, he said, submit yourself therefore to God. Amen. When we get rid of selfishness and worldliness and pridefulness, praise God, then we can be submissive to God. We can submit ourselves to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I need your help. I need you to help me because I'm living in a world that's corrupt. A world that's dissatisfying. A world that doesn't offer any hope. Amen. And he said, I need something to bring me out of that, to cleanse me. I need something to help me to put up a resistance. See, God, all he asks is if we submit ourselves to him and put up a resistance, he said, praise God, he said, I'll help you from there. He said, I'll take that load and the burden. He said, I'll carry it. Amen. We're no match for the devil. As Brother Plemons, Steve Plemons, you say, praise God, he got saved. He said, it wasn't long after he got saved, praise God, the devil come knocking on his door. And when the devil would knock, he'd open the door. And he said, there he'd be again. Amen. But he said, one day he come to realization, praise God, he said, when the devil knocked on the door, he let Jesus answer it. Amen. Glory be God. When the devil knocks on your door, praise God, just let Jesus answer it. Amen. Praise God. That's what Miss G said so many times. Praise God. Sometimes you come to a place in your life, amen, you just got to shut your eyes and look up and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God and expect till he comes and helps you. Praise God. Why? Because he'll overcome by love. Amen. He'll love you in so many ways, praise God, you'll forget about that's out there. And you'll desire that good thing that lives in us all through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Praise His holy name. What a Savior we have! So we get rid of the selfishness. We get rid of the worldliness. We put pride away. We resist the devil. He flees from you. And then what does the Bible say? He says, draw nigh to God. Amen? He said, what we do to overcome by love is we just draw closer and closer to the Lord every day. Listen, young people, just get closer and closer to the Lord. He'll take away all those lustful things. And He'll give you a blessed hope and a promise that's far better than anything that this old world has. Amen? This old world is just something that's a fleeting. It's full of turmoil. But praise God, I'm glad that there's a God that has perfect peace. Amen? He offers perfect peace. And He offers it to you and to me. Praise God, He offers it to the church today. But we got to receive that perfectness, that peace that God gives us. Amen? Take what He brings us out of and get in that He puts us into, that we might do it for His glory, that we might see Him today. Amen? I want to give you just a little illustration of that this morning. I want to ask you a question. Is it okay for the church to be in the world? Hello? You got Bible for that? He said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Praise God. So, okay, if the church is in the world, but we're not of the world, well, what about the world? Is it okay for the world to be in the church? Hello? This is where the rubber meets the road. See, we think it's okay, you know, to do this and do that. It's all right. Amen. Nobody will know. I won't say God knows. Amen. Amen. God knows. We don't hide nothing from God. He knows exactly where we're at. But He said we're supposed to be separate from those things. Charles read that this morning in your hearing. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 15 he says that, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or wickedness? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's an unbeliever. He said, what agreements hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. I want to say, if you're saved this morning, you need to be saved. If you're not, if you're saved, then Jesus Christ lives in your heart. Amen. You're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. If God's willing to accept us, praise God, we ought to be willing to accept Him. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So He said, we've got to come out and we've got to be separate. Got a little boat. See, this water, I told them we was going to have foot washing today and they freaked out on me. I was just kidding. Amen. See, this water, we're going to use this as a type of the world. Okay? So we have the water, we have the world, and this little bitty boat, this is the church. Amen? Now the church is in the water. Amen? Now, is it okay for the church to be in the water? Sure it is. That's where God put us. We can't do nothing about it until He takes us out of here, right? It's okay for the church to be in the water. Amen. In Christ Jesus. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. Even though we're floating in the water of this world, we're not partakers of the water. Amen? We're floating around in it because that's just the way it is. But we can't take the water in. Why? Because it don't take very much water. So if the devil comes along and it don't take much, The devil comes along, and so the church is in the world, but it's not of the world. It's separate. So is it okay to put the world in the church? What happens when we put the world in the church? When we take just a little bit of the world and we put it into the church. It don't take long to where it really begins to weigh the church down. Amen. It begins to cause it to settle in really low. And then the devil comes along. He takes a little bit more of the world and he puts it into church. And the next thing you know, the church is below water. Amen. It's done took all the world it can take, and now the church is floating right there along right where the world is. Can you think about what's happening in the churches today? And when you try to stand for the truth, you try to preach the gospel, Lord Jesus Christ, people say, well, preacher, you're just too old. You're an old fogey. You're too old fashioned. Amen. You got to be more receptive in receiving the thing. Amen. Really? Because when we do, it begins to sink the church. Amen. It begins to go down. Amen. It'll never bring in the world. It'll never lift the church up. Amen. The only way to do things in the world, praise God, is get the world out of the church. Amen. Is to get the world out of the church so that the world can have the power that we need to overcome the world. Say, well, preacher, how do you do that? Praise God. Now listen, the church is not, we're not part of the world. Amen. So what we have to do is we have to go out. We can't take the world into us because it sinks the boat. So what we have to do, praise God, you know what we have to do in order to survive, in order to overcome by love? Praise God, we get a bigger boat. Amen. We have to get a bigger boat, praise God, and we have to put it in the waters of the turmoil of this world. We have to go in the hollies and the hedges and compel them to come in. At these houses might be full. We have to get them saved. We have to get them on fire for God. We have to get people that's ready to go to battle for Lord Jesus Christ at the spur of the moment. Amen. So God's little boat becomes a fighting vessel. Amen. I want to say, glory be God. It's time to stand up and fight for what we believe. It's time to stand up and fight for what's right. Yep. Amen. For God's glory. Yep. Because the world's wanting to consume us. The world's wanting to come in. The world's wanting to destroy. But praise God, when you get a man of God that's ready to fight. Amen. Glory be God. Armed by the power and the might of the Word of God. Praise God, He can do mighty things. Amen. And I want to say this morning. There's nobody too little or too insignificant, praise God, to become part. Amen. You take the least little one. Amen. Glory be God. And you add that to that fighting vessel. Praise God. You know what that little fellow do? He said, praise God, you just keep going the direction you go. You keep fighting the fight. He said, praise God, I got you back. Amen. Glory be to God. He said, I'll be watching the rear. Hey, glory be to God. We'll get them from all sides. Amen. We'll overcome by the love of God. I love you. You love me. Praise God. And we'll sail on. Amen. Amen. We don't have to become part of it. We don't have to take on the world. Praise God. We just have to take on the devil with the power of God and His love. Praise God. It overcomes. Amen. Glory be to God. Today we can do it by the power of the Lord. I know that's a pretty a crude a demonstration, but that's what God's Word teaches us. Amen. We're in this world, but we can make a difference in this world. I mean, we can bring people out. We can get them in the boat, praise God, full of God and godliness, amen, with the desire to fight the devil. Amen. I'm telling you, if we ain't very careful, we'll live defeated lives. Praise God, but we ought to come out, praise God, like full of the zeal of God, with a squirt gun, praise God, attacking hell, praise God, with a wide open, with a desire to extinguish the fires for the sake of all of our loved ones this morning. There's a lot of folks, there's a lot of our little ones today that are floating around out here in the world. Uh-oh. A lot of our little ones today is out here floating around in this world. And you know the sad part about it? We don't really care. We say, what difference does it make? Because that world is going to go down. That world is a place of defeat, a place of anguish, a place of despair. And we're letting them float around in there like we don't really care, when we ought to be trying to get them in the boat. Amen. Trying to get them to be part, praise God, of the church and not a part of the world. You know how we do that? By our attitude. Amen. When we overcome by love, we show them that love of God. We show them that love in our hearts, praise God. And they'll have a desire, praise God, to get out of the water and to get in the boat. Amen. To get in the boat, praise God. To find that place of protection. To find that place of safety. To find that place that's well armed. Amen. Able to defeat all the obstacles that the devil will throw at them. Praise God, because they decide, amen, that there's that place called Christ Jesus, our Savior, who died for us on the cross of Calvary, and he gave us the church and said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. He said, I have empowered the church. Amen. And he said, it gets stronger and stronger. He said, I'm building a bigger and a bigger boat. Amen. Praise God. He said, I'm creating a great war vessel to fight against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Praise God. He said, we could come, and James is saying, we can come in and be partakers in it by submitting ourselves to God, putting up that resistance. Amen. And the good Lord of glory come along, and He'll pluck us up out of those waters of despair, and He'll put our feet upon that solid foundation of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Where we can press on for God's glory all the days of our life in happiness and peace, in solidarity with God Almighty, all for His glory. That we can lift up our voices and say, God, to God be the glory. But see, we're living in a day and the hour that we're bringing in a whole society. Said, you know what? I can accept the Lord Jesus Christ without forsaking the world. I want to say, listen, you can't do that. We've got to get rid of the world and the worldliness and the lust thereof, praise God, and accept the Lord Jesus, and overcome it by love. Amen. The love of Christ in our heart and the love for one another in our hearts. Amen. It changes, it makes us into what God has us to be. You know, you're here today, and a lot of folks will say, you know what, well, preacher, there's such a controversy, there's such turmoil that we're having to fight right now. Yeah, because we're a whole lot of us is floating around out there in that big water. Amen. But it's time to just get into church. It's time to get in God's the place that God's got for you, and just give God the glory and the praise, and have the Holy Ghost revival stirred in your heart, and just say, Lord God, I'm just trusting You to give me that You'd have me to have. Overload me, praise God, that the fullness of God and the fullness of godliness, amen. Bless me on purpose, God, because I'm just getting in. I'm trusting in You. James said, listen, said, it's a time to just weep and mourn, because there's a lot of folks that's out there that's floating around in that big water. Amen. And they need to get in. And it's an opportunity that God gives us to be partakers in His goodness and show them the way. They'll go out. It may take going out and getting them by the hand, say, let me show you something. Let me tell you how much Jesus loves you. Let me point you to a light that illuminates your way. You know what? You don't have to walk in this darkness. And you can't get to them, but maybe somebody else in here can. Amen. Somebody else can go to them and say, listen, said this world is of waywardness is not for you. God's got a better plan. He's got hope for you. I want to say He's got hope for all of us today. But Craig, we just need to realize that we're a part of something that's a whole lot bigger. Amen. That we can't just keep taking in the things that's around us and the worldliness that's around us, amen, without sinking our vessel. But when we forsake those things and we draw nigh to the Lord, praise God, He will draw nigh to us. He'll lift us up and He'll give us happiness and hope and peace, praise God, out of this world, so that no matter what happens, we can overcome by love. That love of God that passes understanding, praise God, will be there to help us and encourage us. Pray God that one day in a little while we have the confidence that all our people will be in that great big boat. Amen. The children of God headed for a glorious place, sailing on in that old ship of Zion. Amen. Looking for that glorious day, His appearing. And it won't be long. It's just a little while out there. But praise God, while we're on the journey, let's not forget these little ones. Amen. Let's not forget these little ones that's called out there in those waves of adversity. Let's pray for them. Let's encourage them. Let's lift them up. Let's bring them out. Ask God, beg God, Lord, save them before it's too late so that they might be part of what I've got. Amen? What about you this morning?